Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together. We have a little bit of coffee. We get into God's Word and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2023, Lord willing, we'll make it from Genesis to Leviticus. We're at Genesis chapter 32 today. Why don't we have some coffee? We'll pray and we'll jump into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. You woke us up today. Your mercies are new. Your compassions do not fail. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you would bless us now as we read it. Help us understand, Lord. We need your spirit to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are at Genesis 32. So, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape." Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will dwell with you, or I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truths which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children.' And you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels for their colts, with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, 'Pass over before me, and put some distance between successive droves.' And he commanded the first one, saying, 'When Esau my brother meets you and asks you, saying, "To whom do you belong, and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you?" Then you shall say, "They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he is also behind us." So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, "In this manner you shall speak thus to Esau when you find him. And also say, 'Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he said, 'I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present went on before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp." Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do? So A, what is this about? Well, Jacob has left Padan Aram. He's left the house of Laban. He's going back to the land that God has told him to go to. And there, the tension starts right away, right? So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, right? When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." He goes and he finds a camp there, and somehow he sees these angels. And this is the second time he's seen these angels. The first time was at Bethel, when he had put his head on a stone like a pillow, and he had had that dream of the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. But here we find he's at what he calls Mahanaim. But instead of this giving him comfort, his heart seems to be immediately gripped by fear. Now, this might be legitimate fear. Remember, the last time Jacob has interacted with Esau, it was when his mother, Rachel, was pleading with his father, Isaac, that he would be able to get out of Dodge, that he would be able to leave because Esau wanted to kill him. He did not want to be his friend. He did not want to love him as a brother. He did not want to wrap his hands around his arms, but he wanted to put his hands around his neck. He was waiting for the day that his father would die so he could murder his brother. And so his mother sent him away. I don't think anybody was planning for him to be gone 20 years, but he was. And so he's gone that full time. He's out of there, and now he's coming back. And the rest of the story is him being concerned about how is he going to preserve the life of his family and how is he going to appease his brother. And so he preserves his family by putting it into two different camps. You know, there's going to be this camp over here and this camp over here. That way, if Esau comes and he attacks one, then this camp is able to flee and be safe. But it's not good enough just that he has his family somehow being able to be safe, but he also sends droves of presents. Maybe he can, if time hasn't cooled anger, maybe essentially re-giving him as much of his birthright as he can will. He sends the sheep, and then the goats, and then the rams, and then the camels, all going in front of him, so that way a present will come, and then a little while later another present will come, and then a little while later another present will come, and then a little while later another present will come. And Esau, hopefully by the time Jacob finally comes, all of a sudden he goes, man, you know, this guy isn't so bad after all. Maybe he's learned his lesson. So this is Jacob's plan. But notice what's in the middle of this. Between him breaking up the families and him sending the droves of gifts, in the heart of this is verse 9 through 12. His prayer. It's amazing the prayer that Jacob has. Notice the parts of his prayer in 9 through 12. He calls out to who he's praying to in verse 9. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. This is El. This is the generic word for God, right? But it's the God of whom? Isaac and Abraham. And then he calls upon not just a generic God, but he uses the divine name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in the second part of verse 9. Jehovah, who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. So he reminds God, you're the one who called me out of Laban's house. You're the one who's told me to leave. And then he humbles himself in verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. He humbles himself. He says, I'm not worthy of what you've done for me. I'm not worthy of what you've shown me. But then he recalls God's merciful acts to him in the rest of verse 10. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. He had gone out as a single bachelor. And now there's two companies in his family. Six children on one side, six children on the other side. There's a whole bunch of people. And then he cries out to God in verse 11. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. Why? For I fear him, lest he come and take me and my and the mother and the children, right? He doesn't hide his fear from the Lord, but he comes and he tells the Lord his fear. He tells him the anguish of his soul. And then in verse 12, he reminds God. He reminds God of his covenant. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. I think that's the heart of this passage, and that's what I would underline in this passage. There are other things I have underlined because I underline a lot of things. But I think this really gets at the heart of Jacob. Something is starting to change in Jacob. It's like the Lord is starting to work in his heart. And we're going to find that this really comes to play in the next section tomorrow. But here we find Jacob crying to God, going to him in prayer. When anxiety is ready to grip his heart, he humbles himself before God. He remembers what God has shown him. He remembers what God has done for him. And he reminds God of his promises. I think it's a great model for prayer. And obviously, the Lord gives us, Jesus himself gives us the best of prayers on the Sermon on the Mount. But yet, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, the whole Bible is good for us to pray. I think this is a good model for prayer for us. To humble ourselves, to remember what God has told us, to remember what God has done for us, and for us to remind him of his covenant promises. Why don't we do that this morning? Let's close this out with some prayer. O God, the God of our father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one who sits in heaven enthroned, you are the Lord. Jehovah, you are the one who has called yourself by your name. And you have called us to be your people. Lord, we do not deserve this. Conceived in sin, from birth, rebels at heart. Lord, you know our frame, but you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You have given us your word. You have told us these stories of your covenant promises. Lord, and you have taken out our hearts of stone and given us hearts of flesh. You have filled our days with good, but most of all, you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners. You displayed your great love for us in fulfilling your covenant promises and applying them to us. Lord, we pray that you would not forsake your work, that you would not leave us undone, but Lord, you would complete the good work that you have begun in us unto the day of perfection. Lord, please, make us more and more thankful. Keep our eyes focused upon you. Let us love you all the days of our lives. And Lord, we pray that we would follow after you, that we would walk in the good works that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the peace of Jesus Christ wash over your soul. And may it surpass all understanding. And guard your heart. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.